This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to Checkpoint Intimates, the weekly podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate with a particular gaming topic. My name's Edie, and I'm joined by Charlie. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm very excited to talk about this topic.
Ooh, yes, the topic is Hades, the game by Supergiant who won our Game of the Year, which is the only Game of Year that matters. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So we both played this game, and yep, we both love it. So why don't we start off by talking about a little bit about what we love about it?
Right. Do you want me to start?
Yes, please.
So Hades is a game, yeah, as you said, made by Supergiant. It's the most recent game that was in development for quite a while in Early Access. It got its full release this year. It's a roguelike game where you play a character by the name of Zagreus, befriending and interacting with Greek gods of the underworld. You go through different dungeons, different runs of different areas of places like Elysium and Styx. Go through gorgeous environments, learn character backstories, and really it's just one of the most approachable and fun roguelikes I've seen so far.
Yeah, and I have to agree there, because I am definitely not someone who would have ever thought that I would enjoy a roguelike or roguelite game.
Yes.
Just because it's not, I get frustrated when they're with games that are very difficult, where you die, yep, a lot, and especially when you like lose things when you die in runs, which is probably my least favorite thing. But Hades really found a way to make it work. And I think that was a lot to do with the way that they made each run diegetic. So, yep, and what that means is each time you die and come back, that's not just a video gamey thing that doesn't really happen in the world itself. Zagreus really is dying, and he really is being transported back to the bottom level, the House of Hades, and he walks past his dad in the office chair, and his dad is like, "Ha, you suck, son." And it's like, it's great.
It's so great. Like, yeah, you know, so the large story that you're following here is you play as Zagreus, you learn of your mother, who isn't who you once previously thought it was, and how she's on the surface, on the world, like, and you're basically working gradually to reach the surface and find your mother, Persephone. And it's really great in the storytelling that, you know, each time you die, you just get sent through this pool of blood back into the House of Hades as a way to, like you said, the diegetic stuff back then. Really link it back together and narratively make sense as a roguelike game.
Yeah, and there are so many great characters that you meet as Zagreus along the way. There's, of course, your dad, Hades, who's a big, yep, old jerk. There's your mother you've just discovered exists, Persephone, who is the character you're desperately trying to get to, yep, escape Hades. And there are, of course, all your cousins and uncles and aunts in the gods that you meet along the way and who give you the upgrades called boons, because upgrades, yeah, are upgrades that you find along in each dungeon level is quite the staple of roguelikes. But this game, again, found a way to make it diegetic, where all of these deities are like tripping over themselves trying to give you their boons instead of their cousin's boons, like, take my boon instead of my brother's, I'm better. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's a very good way to, I guess, yeah, make more sense in the narrative. And it's very robust in that way too, you know. You got like a bunch of different weapons, you got like a bow, you got like a spear, and you can add different elements to them in different ways. So maybe you'll get a gift from Aphrodite, and it's like, you know, a love spell where if you cast it weakens your foes. Or maybe you'll get something from Poseidon where you'll just send like your attacks send like a giant like riptide wave at enemies and just clear rooms so well.
Yeah, and it's incredibly fun to combo these abilities with each other. There are certain boons that work really, really well with each other. What was your favorite combo to use? Do you have a favorite combo?
I don't know about combos. This is more like a upgrade later. You can upgrade your gear and mod them in different ways later on when you finish the game and you unlock more Titan Blood, which is an item you get from beating bosses. And one of the things I really enjoyed was like a upgrade you could do to your fists where it's like a magnet and you pull your enemies in and then do like a powerful uppercut and basically push them back away. Ooh. And I always found that really effective in crowd controlling and really
I didn't use the gauntlets much. Is that what they were called? Gauntlets? The fists. The one where you punch.
The punch.
Yes. My favorite weapon to use is definitely the shield. Because when you get up to Theseus and the bull man, Asterius. Yes, that's his name. It's the shield is just really useful against him. It's also really useful against Hades when he does that move where he spins around and he's got these beams.
Yep.
You can just straight up block it with the shield and go, ha! Suck it, dad. I found that very satisfying. I don't know what that says about me, but...
No, for sure. No, that's really good. There's like a bunch of different ways to experiment and, you know... Every weapon's basically useful in its own right. I've definitely warmed up to the gun, which is still my least favorite, but you can mod that in different ways.
Yes, I definitely don't like the gun, nor do I like the bow very much. Even though it's one of my friend's favorite weapons to use, the bow. So it's one of those things where it really differs so much from person to person, which is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they're all useful in their own way, especially in the boss fights, which... A lot of these boss fights are really thrilling, so one of the ones you do is, the first one you do is you'll fight someone called Meg, or Megara. Megara, yes, thank you. And she's this fury sister who has this, like, powerful whip and can just totally beat the absolute crap out of you, and, you know, you can do
Don't you like that in a woman, though?
Absolutely. and you can do something like, you know, throw out your shield that just kind of hovers an area for a moment and totally damage and wreck her up while she's in the middle of an attack. And that's really useful and really powerful.
Yeah. And let's talk about just the sheer amount of ways that the game can change over the runs. So one thing that always... made me get bored with some roguelikes is that nothing changes between runs because, you know, the level, once you've beaten a level and you have to go through it again and again because you died on a further level, it gets boring because it's like, oh, well, I've been here before, you know, and I got past it. It's just that it's one of those games that dumps you right back at the start. But in Hades, although the level does remain mostly the same, there are all these surprises. There's like you meet, is it Prometheus, the guy who has to roll the boulder up the hill?
Yes. So you meet like him. There's a bunch of like semi-scripted like interactions you meet with characters. And I think the one that we both really think of when we think of this is Thanatos. And
yes, Thanatos. It's quite unlikely that you'll run into him for your first two runs.
Yeah.
I've spoken to people who still haven't encountered him. I've got some people.
I think
who...
there's very like specific prerequisites. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did look up the prerequisites. You have to be doing kind of badly, but not like very badly, which is really weird. it's a way to like to make sure he doesn't appear too often. But I was also just thinking of the sheer amount of unique dialogue that's in the game. You know, you'll rock up. You'll first meet Meg, and then of course that's unique dialogue because it's the first time you meet her. And then the second and third time, there was still unique dialogue. I was like, "Huh, this is really cool. I like this dialogue variety." And then by the 10th time, and then the 15th time, I was thinking, "When is it going to run out of unique dialogue?"
Yeah.
I was expecting it to run out of unique dialogue by the 5th time I talked to her.
It's really amazing how much dialogue they fit into this. It feels very visual novel that when you meet up with a character again or talk to them in the House of Hades, they always have something new to say. That's largely where you're learning your story in this game, less so than from gameplay. And yeah, there's so much good character development in there and just so many good characters in this game. Can we talk about the characters in this game?
Oh, yes, please. So first of all, Zagreus is a darling. He's a darling boy. Yep. And I want to just give him a smooch on the cheek.
Absolutely.
I'm so used to having protagonists like who look like Zagreus be like sassy and kind of rude or like brash or ignorant or kind of a dummy. And to be fair, he is a bit of a dummy.
I was going to say, he is a dummy, yeah.
Yeah, but not
a charming one.
Yeah. But not a himbo. Not all the way to a himbo. He's like, you know, he sometimes says the wrong thing, but mostly he's just a really polite boy.
Yeah.
He just wants his dad to appreciate him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's polite to everyone, and man.
Yeah.
So I liked him.
Yeah, you'll definitely meet some complex, like, relationships in this. So you'll talk with, I'm blanking on his name, Patroclus and Achilles. So you'll mainly meet Achilles first in the House of Hades, and you'll learn all about how he's got this kind of estranged relationship with Patroclus, who's in Elysium, and it's a very sad story, but very moving. And you learn about these two, like, lovers who are both men and have this very complicated story, and it's very moving in that way.
It's very sad when you meet Patroclus and because Zagreus does not know that the two know each other, he doesn't bring up the fact that he knows Achilles. And so it gets so frustrating to meet him again and again. I'm just shaking my Switch going, mention Achilles, do it, please, they're boyfriends.
Yeah, you definitely like learn that more eventually. And, you know, you grow your relationship even with Hades where you think you're very estranged. And by the end of, I won't spoil too much because you haven't finished all 10 runs yet.
No,
but when you finish 10 runs, which is what's required to finish the quote-unquote narrative, even though there's still a lot of things to explore, finish like the main part of the narrative, your relationship definitely heals with Hades and grows in a lot of interesting ways.
I'm so glad. Because I definitely know Hades has got some damage. There's some trauma in that boy. I can feel it. But he still shouldn't treat his son like that. But still. It's one of those. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say there's lots of complex stuff in that way. You know, you got Thanatos' history with Zagreus itself, who's kind of like an ex-boyfriend. And there's just.
Is he? I thought he was just like a. Oh, well, like we already mentioned, I haven't played as much as you. Mm. But I was getting the impression that it was kind of like a boyhood crush that never got realized.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just projecting too much and like the two together a lot. But there's definitely complicated stuff with the two of them. And the same with Meg and Zag. And you just, there's all these different ways that you're learning about all these characters and all their heartache and then kind of helping patch people together, feel more homely in the House of Hades, while also transforming the House of Hades. That's the other thing. And a lot of the loot you'll get in this game translates a lot, whether it be like gems or this thing called darkness, it translates to like, you know, passive perks that can help future runs, or it can translate to gems, which you use to, you know, upgrade and add nice little things to your House of Hades, whether
and
it be your room
purely,
or the lounge.
It's purely aesthetic, because, you know, you can add songs that Orpheus can play, that your court musician. You can add like different flowers. I added rose petals around the pool of the den. And I'm like, I was so satisfied with that. It looked so cool.
Yeah.
So there are so many reasons to keep playing even after you've beaten the main story.
I think that's mainly why like this is definitely clicked for us, because I'm not one into roguelikes either. But even just that you actually carry on some like perks and stuff like that and items, you also, it's just narratively there's good incentive to just keep playing in this game. Like each time you die, it doesn't feel like a waste, because you're going to go back home and talk to all these people in the House of Hades and learn more about all these interesting characters. And it's just all the more worth
it. I always looked forward to, like, every time I died in a run, I'd be like, ah, oh, damn it. Like, that annoyance would be last for a couple
Very
of seconds.
Very fleeting, yeah.
Yeah, but then I would, like, go back to the House of Hades and like, ooh, time to talk to everybody. You know, what have you got to say, Achilles? Hi, Medusa. Hi. Or her name is Deusa, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just such a charming world to, like, be in. I really like it a lot. Let's not forget to mention how great the art is.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. Like, everyone, the character design is so great for all of the gods and deities. Like,
yeah.
You can, I mean, if you have any idea about Greek mythology at all, you can tell instantly who everyone is just kind of by looking at them.
It's a very horny but tasteful art. Like, everyone is, like, impossibly gorgeous, but in a really charming way, not in, like, a, you know, anime JRPG way.
And that being said, Aphrodite is, like, absolutely naked.
She is. But that's just Aphrodite, you know?
But also Dionysus, though.
Dionysus is Dionysus. Gorgeous, yeah.
Oh, yes, and I just wanted to make sure I gave proper props to have everyone not be white. Thank you. That was really great of you.
There's what's a god of war? I'm thinking Ares is a person of color, and they're really gorgeous as well. Everyone in this game is so gorgeous in their own, like, different ways. They're not all, like, necessarily traditional like attractive, but they still have their own, like, very nice flares about them, and it's so nice.
Yeah, it's really, really gorgeous.
So the other thing I really wanted to talk about in Hades here is, I guess, the score. This is once again done by Darren Korb, who's been the composer for all the previous games, and really this is his best work, in my opinion. There's so many, like, catchy, gorgeous songs, like, whether they're, like, small heartbreaking ones, like, What's her name? The tree lady that's...
Oh, Eurydice.
Yeah, Eurydice's solo song is just gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
And heartbreaking. And...
Yeah, I listen to that on my own sometimes.
Yeah, it's lovely. And then, you know, you got really good, impactful, like, action songs in, like, the heat of the moment, which are just so good with so many sweet riffs. And, yeah, I don't know. Combine that with, like, all the work that... Supergiant have done over the past decade with all their games, this really just feels like the biggest and, like, best game they've done yet. Definitely the most approachable, but, like, just them, like,
yeah, no, I, gem, I, really. I feel like this is definitely their best work yet. It might even be their magnum opus, although
absolutely.
we hope that they always just continue to get better. And what
sure
an achievement to have their game to be nominated for Game of the Year alongside freaking The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Sure. And it won Best Indie as well, which was, you know, like, I feel like a cakewalk for them because this game is just...
Yeah, it was definitely... I felt really confident it was going to win Best Indie.
It's gelled so well with so many people. It's captured the hearts of a lot. The community around this game is amazing too. You know, you go on Twitter still to this day and see a lot of fan art, like, be it tasteful or very, very thirsty. And you just see a lot of it. And I love all of it.
Yeah, it's been really good to see. And it's great to see, like, characters inspire people like that.
Yeah.
And it's really encouraging, of course, to see the LGBT representation in it. Yeah. Not so much the T, but there you go.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, like, with the stuff how you can kind of romance Thanatos a little bit in, like, giving them gifts, which is another important
part. Yeah, you can give gifts to everybody, which I like. I've been, like, I don't know if I can actually do this, but I've been giving all my gifts to Chaos.
Oh, I didn't know you could give gifts to Chaos. I assumed that was just one you couldn't. How was that going?
No, you can. I've given them so many gifts that, like, they straight up told me, don't give me gifts anymore. You're not going to get anything out of them.
Yeah, that's what I also really like about this game. You know, there's different items to get. The nectar that you give as gifts is one of them, and that helps you, you know, unlock character bios, which you can read, and then also just get more backstory through more dialogue. There's just so many little polishing off things to do, like, after you finish the narrative that don't feel too much like busy work.
Getting all the trinkets from everybody that they give you, and
all the trinkets.
Unlocking Achilles's blog. It's basically his blog.
Yeah, there's also so much good stuff in here that just never feels like busy work because this game is immensely fun to play and just so happy with it. It's my game of the year, and I'm glad it's Checkpoint's game of the year. It's really special. It's innovated and revitalized the roguelike genre, I believe, and made it more approachable and special. And yeah, fantastic game.
Absolutely, 100% agree. Well, I reckon we've touched on this topic about as much as we can. Yeah. Thank you for joining me, Charlie.
Of course. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint Intimates, and stay tuned for more intimates next week. See you guys later.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.